TechTalk@newstalk.com, as ever, is the email address if you have any questions for me. Later in the show, I will answer some of your questions. And I also have loads of book recommendations for you. I was off at the start of the week for a few days and I blitzed through. I think I read and listened to 4 books over my super long weekend. So I'll be bringing you that in a little while, as well, as I said, as answering your tech questions. But before we get to that, Minister Robert Troy recently confirmed that the digital euro is going to be a priority during Ireland's EU presidency. I'll be completely honest, I don't know what that is. I don't know what it entails. But I'm delighted to say that Nick Charalambos, who is the Managing Director of Alpha Wealth, is with me now and will explain all. Nick, it's great to chat with you. I read a piece that you wrote on thejournal.ie this week in relation to the digital euro. For those like myself who are not particularly au fait with this area, what is the digital euro?
So it's a proposal that's currently going through the EU. And it looks like it's going to pass in law this year and possibly be introduced in Euroland in 2027. Basically, in simple terms, it's a form of payment system, not too dissimilar to what we're used to now, the likes of tapping our cards to pay for items, like if we're at a concert, or indeed any kind of small payments. But the main difference really is that it's through the European Union, so it's centralized, and it's a almost like guaranteed payment system that can work offline, so we don't have the issues of, you know, internet access. So whilst it may not appear to be very different to the way that we kind of spend our money now, I do think there are certain advantages and definitely benefits to those people living in Ireland.
Okay, we'll talk through some of the benefits in a quick minute, but let's just run through in greater detail how it differs. So just last week, for example, ZipPay launched in this country, whereby the traditional banks enabled a feature that allows payments from one bank to another bank happen instantaneously, similarly to what Revolut has done for years. But that was seen as a big advancement, even though they're playing catch up to a certain extent. How, you know, I guess people are just going to try and get their heads around how this differs from what you're talking about, because as far as we're concerned, things have gotten better and it's never been easier for us to move our money around. So how does this differ?
And I totally agree, Jess, that it is an advancement that we've seen of late. And obviously we saw that with the collaboration of some of the main banks in Ireland with ZipPay. But the difference here is that it basically falls outside of the institutional banks. So we don't have this reliance on, you know, the so-called pillar banks that we've all been used to dealing with over years. Potentially that can reduce costs. It also means that it's centralized and we don't have to be concerned, especially in times of crisis. You know, it's fine when everything's fine, but when there are periods, and we've seen that of late, you know, things that can happen in the world, people start to become quite nervous. Mm-hmm. And if you've got your money secured by a centralized, basically, system like the EU, it takes that fear away from, you know, defaulting. It can also reduce costs. I mean, banks are in business to make money. And the prospect of the digital currency is really to give that freedom of payment without any fear of, you know, banks defaulting, potentially at a lower cost as well.
One of the things that has been floating around over the last few months in particular was the advice and guidance to always have a bit of cash. Like, we know in society, we see stats all the time that show that cash is no longer king, particularly for younger shoppers who are out and about. Would the embracing of the digital currency, would that remove the need for the holding on to the cash? And as you said, in times of crisis, people queuing up outside ATMs to try and make sure they've got money for the kids' lunches and so on.
Absolutely, Jess. I think that is one of the advantages of the digital currency, is that it should alleviate you know, the requirement for people to be worried about the fact that they can't get money out of a bank link for various reasons, particularly when we've seen banks have issues. We've seen that of late where there may not have been payments made because the euro effectively, you know, digital currency is going to be decentralized. It's a guaranteed payment system. Now, it will be limited. And just to put it in context, there is reference to the fact that they may limit it to about 3,000 euros. So we're not talking about large payments. It will be, you know, something that, unlike, you know, the differences that we may have kind of seen in the fact of cryptocurrency, for example, which is not really seen to be replacing. This will be on a centralized ledger. It will be authenticated. So, you know, there's no fear of it in any way, money being lost. But I would suggest that it should alleviate the need for people to try and feel they need physical cash. And we are moving more to that sort of system. In Ireland, we are quite tap heavy. I think we've really embraced the whole, you know, banking change that has come about. And we've seen that with the advent of obviously a lot of these neobanks, you know, the likes of Revolut, for example, and others that have come into the Irish marketplace that have really been embraced from a payments mechanism. This should take it one step further.
And in terms of practicalities, what would this look like for me? Somebody who has, I have a traditional bank, so I'm with Bank of Ireland, and my salary gets paid into my Bank of Ireland account. I put sort of my disposable income, my play money, as I call it, into my Revolut account. Would the digital currency require a third institution? Like, I don't understand necessarily how it would differ from me, the consumer. Would I have to move my money from Bank of Ireland into a digital currency wallet or something like that?
Potentially, Jess. We haven't seen the full detail of exactly how this payment mechanism will operate. But like we've seen, you know, it may seem more complicated having more than one account. But for most of us now, you know, we have, as you said, a lot of us have embraced Revolut. There was a lot of talk at the time when Revolut came into the Irish marketplace about 3 years ago about the fear of, you know, Revolut defaulting, which, you know, they're Lithuanian. They're not a physical bank. And yet they really gained people's trust. And then subsequently, they launched a lot of savings and investment options that many, many Irish consumers have taken advantage of.
Mm.
Now, with regards to your question, I would suggest that it probably will be a requirement to set up another account, but it'd be very easy. It'd be fairly seamless setting up accounts in this nature, especially if it's done through the centralized system. Should be very plain sailing, a little bit like ZipKepay. But more so is that it will give you that peace of mind that not only is it secured by the EU, it's also, as I said, avoids issues, as I've mentioned, in terms of crisis. It doesn't require internet access, so it could be offline, which again, we've all had that experience where we may be worried that, you know, we can't pay for something if we don't have internet access, especially if we're traveling as well. So there are certainly advantages, and it's probably that more common form of payment potentially. And I think that will lead on to more advantages as it's, you know, progressed. It's really a case of just its introduction and then how it can see. I do think cryptocurrency may suffer because of this. You know, a lot of us may have put money into maybe the likes of, you know, Bitcoin and so on, not as an investment, but maybe when we were a little bit fearful and this kind of feeling that, you know, it might be another form of payment mechanism. I have had clients who put money into quite extreme methods such as gold, again, not as to essentially make an investment return from, but almost as a store of money. So this could alleviate, you know, that requirement. But in terms of pure banking, yes, I feel it would be another extension of those traditional accounts that you have, and maybe potentially even replace them. You know, to a certain regard, I use Revolut partly for payment system. If I was able to use the digital euro, it probably in most part would replace that for me personally.
Yeah, and this could be a stupid question, so forgive me if it is, but if I have 50 euro Is 50 euro still 50 euro in the digital currency, or will the money go further if, you know, there are fewer transaction fees or whatever some of those friction points are when it comes to spending money online and in coffee shops and wherever else?
Yeah, no, it's a really valid question. The reality is that the costs of banking are mostly almost like invisible. So, for example, you know, if you have 50 euros in Bank of Ireland, it's 50 euros. It's where you get caught with these kind of monthly, quarterly transaction fees that does dilute down, you know, the amount of value you have. Because if you get hit with like a 40 euros annual charge fee for using a card, and then obviously get caught for, you know, the payment itself, whilst it doesn't visibly hit your 50 euros at the outset, it obviously starts to kind of ebb away, and that's really the difference. But in terms of the understanding of this, it isn't going to pay interest, so it won't replace banks. And again, there's a fear that, you know, using these new methods could have an issue for a lot of the traditional banks, which this is not really seen to be replacing. It is going to be an add-on. It's going to provide this kind of all-encompassing one payment method system, and really, again, try and engender trust in the banking system, which could improve, I suppose, again, our view of how banks operate. They may need to become more competitive, of course, in lieu of this, which they've had to do with the likes of Revolut. And it just is an add-on to existing services. But as I said, it won't look and seem extremely different, but there are slight differences, advantages and probably disadvantages that we have to just bear in mind.
Yeah. And could this be a cash killer then, in terms of if it negates the need for us to have sort of that cash store, if it can work even when there are outages, if there's a ransomware attack or something like that, is this something that could completely negate the need to have cash in the future?
I would say so, Jess, yeah. I mean, we've seen less and less cash being used. I personally don't even carry cash anymore in my wallet. So that has been a movement that has happened quite radically over the last few years. But there's still people that do traditionally use it. I mean, interestingly, as a financial advisor, I've noticed that some clients have started to actually use a process called cash stuffing, where they're physically going to the bank, withdrawing a certain amount to compartmentalize for certain payments, because it helps them to manage their money a little bit more effectively. Because let's be honest about it, tapping can become quite addictive, and it can come out of control as well. You know, if you're in a pub on a Friday evening, you could end up spending a lot more without really realizing it. So again, there are pros and cons of moving to this digital system, but I do believe it's going to, you know, reduce the requirement for cash if you know that there's never going to be an issue with the internet, if you know that it's centralized, even in times of crisis, that the EU are always going to abide and fulfill their obligation, particularly when we get more comfortable with it. But it only has a limited space on the shelf. As I said, this is for small payments, and it'll take time to introduce this. As I said, realistically, we're not going to see this at its earliest until 2027. And I don't believe it's going to replace the likes of the Revoluts or indeed digital currency as we know it. But it will add, I suppose, an improvement in certain areas, particularly when we're traveling or if we live in remote areas, or where there are issues, as you mentioned, where a bank goes down, we're not going to panic or stress because we know that we always have that as our buffer.
One of the fear factors, like when I was doing my mortgage application, somebody gave me the advice that, you know, if you're going to the pub after work on Friday, take cash out because you don't want the banks seeing that you were spending frivolously in a pub on a Friday night. So that was, you know, we were told to use cash and all the rest there. With this centralized system, are there privacy concerns? Are there any implications about who or what could see the information of where we're spending our money, how much money we're spending and so on?
You know, that's a really good point, Jess. And look, the advice you got when applying for a mortgage, respectfully, was quite sound. You know, you know, we don't want to show a bank that, you know, we might spend money where they wouldn't consider it to be kind of a good form of saving. Now, generally, it shouldn't stop people getting a mortgage. But in this respect, there are going to be privacy concerns, because unlike cryptocurrency, and one of the advantages of crypto, even though I'm not a massive advocate for it because of so many scams that unfortunately operate in that sector, which this shouldn't obviously have any fear of, is that it is completely decentralized. You know, there's no way for people to visibly see, whereas our understanding thus far of what we've heard about the digital euro is that it will be on a ledger and potentially may be available if a bank is looking for information. Now, that hasn't been completely confirmed yet, but this wouldn't necessarily benefit us if, let's say, we enjoyed a flutter in Paddy Power on a Saturday. I don't think that that would necessarily be the vehicle that we'd be using. So there may still be that requirement to take the cash out if we had that sort of fetish, if you want to call it that. There's nothing wrong with certain things that we might do, but obviously everything to a certain point. But really, for me, I embrace it as I would any form of way that I can use my money, potentially reduce my fees, have that confidence that I'm never going to have a decline payment because of the bank's failure, or where there may be, you know, issues that we see in the world that cause that concern. And I think the EU are just trying to provide really that safety net. Maybe not so much for people in Ireland, because we are quite a developed economy, but you can certainly think that there are other economies within the EU. And it's a starting phase to what may take more, I suppose, legs and run with, because like everything else, and we saw this with Revolut, it's an introduction and then it's an expansion. And I do think this is probably the first phase where they may increase limits. It may start to be used potentially not to replace banks. I think banks will always have their wheelhouse, but they might become more, rather than a store of money, focused on lending, which is really where the banks make their real money, or more in the financial advisory side, rather than, you know, you holding 10,000 in the bank because you want to have that money available. And I think those days are starting to come to an end anyway, with the introduction of Revolut, N26, Raisin, and so on, because those banks, as we get more aware of them and trusting of them, will provide us more interest, and they are more European based. So I think as a country and as a population, we probably need to sort of embrace Europe a little bit more. And this is, again, one signal of that, but coming more so from the EU rather than individual banks that are trying to get us to pry with our money.
Okay, so you said that this is not going to happen today, tomorrow, or overnight. What are the steps in terms of making this a reality?
Well, at the moment, and there seems to be a big push towards this, so it's been through certain layers of the EU Parliament, but there is one last sign-off, I believe, that has to happen, and the probability is it will happen this year. And then, like everything, it needs to be formalised in relation to the tech side, which will require, you know, quite a lot. But because this is an EU-centric regime, it's going to happen, you know, relatively quickly. There won't be any issues over the cost of obviously putting this infrastructure in place. And then the rollout, again, I think that will be quite smooth in its transition. So that's where we currently stand. The fact that it's being mentioned, you know, at even a level that we're discussing, and I believe that there is a great push for this, because the EU want to help its, you know, individuals, and this is going to be one way that I believe it's going to help. And from an Irish context, it's just another layer to this move to our improvement. I don't like paying fees in banking. I don't like worrying about the bank not, you know, paying me my wage. I don't like the fact that I have money perhaps that might be sitting in cash in the coffee jar because I don't fully trust the banks per se, and this will hopefully alleviate those issues. But it's not going to be a solver of all ills. You know, I don't believe that that's the benefit. It doesn't give me interest. It's limited. And of course, we need to see the detail, and we haven't quite seen the full detail for this. But I think it'd be a fairly straightforward system, if truth be told. I mean, ultimately, in very simple language, it's going to allow us the knowledge that we can all pass money within the European Union without fear of whatever bank is involved, whatever payment system, and we will recognize it as we would, you know, a 50-euro note. And we don't even have to worry about its legitimacy. So again, it really gives us that kind of comfort blanket, if you like.
Well, look, we will follow with interest as this continues to develop and hopefully becomes a reality. But for the moment, Nick, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
It's an absolute pleasure, Jess. Thank you very much again.